Hey, Suzanne.
Hi. Do I address you as Alice Cooper? The Coop. How about the Coop?
That's fine.
Is that fine?
Everybody calls me the one.
How are you? This is really such a pleasure for me,
I am doing great. We've been on this tour since May.
Yes, so, the Psychodrama Tour.
Yeah, we're on our own tour. Well, we're supposed to have 3 weeks off right now. And Rob Zombie dropped off of the Heaven and Hell Tour. He was guest star. He called us up and said, hey, can you take my place?
Is that how it worked? See, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like he was promoting, Halloween.
Sure.
And didn't realize it was going to do as well as it's doing. So we jumped on the tour for him. So we're kind of on Heaven and Hell's tour right now. Everybody in the show are friends of you that you've worked with before in a million different ways. So it's a really good show. So this whole tour, I mean, when you get pretty much Black Sabbath or Heaven and Hell, Alice Cooper and Queensryche together, it's not going to be an acoustic set.
Exactly. The exotic music wildness of Alice Cooper. Now, you wrote the book on shock rock, you know? I don't know how many people really realize that.
Well, we started it. We were the first ones to ever use any theatrics, any makeup, anything that was other than just sort of standing up on stage and doing your songs.
Right. I mean, before Bowie, before Kiss,
before anybody.
Absolutely. You know, I mean,
I mean, that's to me is what makes it fun. I mean, you still have to really be a good band. I mean, that's the important thing. If you're not a great band, then and you're doing all this theatrics, you know, because that's really what keeps you there. People, you know, sort of the theatrics is icing on the cake. You have to have the cake first, which is the music.
Exactly right. You have so many hits, too, and so many albums. I mean,
well, we had 14 top 40 hits.
Yeah.
And which is very odd for a band as theatrical as we are. You know, normally that didn't happen, but back then you really had to approach everything as write the best song you can, because we were up against Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones and, you know, everybody.
Right.
You really had to put a record out that was going to really capture everybody's attention.
Now, away from the music, you also are a film actor. You dabbled, in Friday the 13th, the sixth installment?
Oh, yeah, I've done a bunch of Wayne's World.
Yes,
I was Freddy Krueger's father.
Yeah, right. And, of course, a golfing celebrity now with, two books published, right?
Yeah.
Most recently, the Alice Cooper Golf Monster, Rock and Roller's 12 Steps to Becoming a Golf Addict.
See, I think most of these books are steps on how not to do something. Mine is steps on how to become a golf addict.
You know, I just got a copy of the book, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Can you give me one step that I can share with the listeners right now?
Well, you know, with golf, I started playing golf because I quit drinking. Now myself and some guys I think you might have heard of named Aerosmith, believe it or not, we abused certain things. I know it's hard to believe. Well, you know, it was sort of like all of us in that generation sort of went through the, let's see how much we can do, let's see how close to dying we can get, you know.
Well, you know, I think, though, it's disco that drove you to drink, right? You've said
you know, disco was, wasn't
it on
exact.
Disco.
This is the weirdest thing about disco, okay? And I can say this now. We hated disco because we couldn't get airplay.
Sure.
When disco was on, Aerosmith couldn't get airplay. I couldn't get airplay. Kiss couldn't get airplay.
Right.
All they would play is disco. So we hated disco with a passion. Now that disco is gone, I can sit down and listen to Saturday Night Fever and go, hey, that's a pretty good album. And everybody in rock and roll will agree that Saturday Night Fever was sort of the Sergeant Pepper of disco.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a shame to like that album.
Looking back at your biography, and I guess I never realized that School's Out, the album was nominated for a Grammy for the cover art.
Yes.
And how
and so was Billion Dollar Babies and the Greatest Hits. I think we were nominated about 6 times for that.
It folded out. School's Out, kind of the desk that folded out complete with the fake metal legs.
And then the actual record sleeve was a pair of panties.
You know, nobody does that anymore. I mean,
you can't do that now with CDs. They're just too small.
And then, of course, the downloading. Forget about it, right? I mean, with files. I mean, but that is truly classic stuff.
Well, you know, back then when you had albums, they would let... We were such a theatrical band. Warner Brothers just said, let Alice design his own album covers.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows his sense of humor. You know, he's going to be the one that knows what's right, how to sell himself. So, of course, School's Out was a desk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a School's Out desk.
Sure.
And when you opened up the desk, you could fold it out, open it up, and there was the record inside. And instead of, like I said, it was covered with, the first 100,000 were covered in these paper panties. Because in those days, if you were 16, and you came to school on a Monday and you opened your desk and you could provide a pair of panties, you were the man.
Right on.
You were the guy.
Right on. Wow. So,
of course, you know, it was always your sisters and you weren't going to tell everybody that. You know, you were just trying to act like you were the big guy. But
now, hey, in 72, election year, Elected was a big hit. You ran against, now, who, Richard Nixon that year?
Well, you know, the idea is who would be the worst candidate on the planet at that time? You have to remember, at that time, I was Marilyn Manson times 10.
Exactly. He owes a lot to you.
So I was the most hated, probably, character in the...
Sure.
Just in the sort of the commercial world out there.
Right.
You couldn't find anybody as unlikely to be the president of the United States as Alice Cooper. So I said, well, then we have to do that. We have to pretend like Alice is running for president, because it would be the worst thing that could ever happen to America.
That was truly a groundbreaking rock video, too. So congratulations on that video.
Well, you know, it was John Lennon's favorite song.
Really?
John Lennon loved that song. He was very politically motivated, though.
Sure.
You know?
He was.
Yeah, and he used to come, you know, down to our office in New York City, and he would... Because the record wasn't out yet. He just heard the acetate, and he was listening to it, and he'd come down 3 or 4 times.
Hmm.
And I finally passed him in the hall, you know, and he goes, great record, you know.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
And I'd say, thank you, man, thank you.
Yeah.
And then he'd get to the door, and he'd look around, and he'd go, Paula would have done it better.
What's next for the Coop? I hear you're going to retire 6 years after Mick Jagger, right?
Yeah, well, I always said that, you know, I think he's 5 years older than me, or six years older than me. And as soon as he retires, I'll have 6 years after that. Because I don't want him to outlast me.
Well, listen, we so look forward to the show on Sunday. I'm actually going to meet you. I'll have a chance to go backstage with some winners and meet
you. Yeah, we'll see you after the show then.
And I certainly I'm looking forward to that. And best of luck, and we'll see you Sunday.
Okay, great. It's going to really be a fun show. And I would say if you're in the first 10 rows at our show, don't wear your best clothes.
There you go. Okay, we look forward to it.
Our show has a tendency to reach out.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, Coop, thanks so much. And you keep rocking. And
okay.
We'll see you Sunday at the Tweeter Center.
Bye-bye.
Okay, brother. Bye-bye.